Welcoming back once again, another Dallas Fort Worth music talent. We got Denny Renee on the show today. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I can't complain at all. I'm glad to have another just local talent on here. She recently unleashed her recent single, Going Nowhere, and can be found on Spotify. You know, collaborated with rap artist Jay Nitz, if I'm pronouncing it right, Jay Nitz. Yeah.
Yeah, Jay Nitz.
So, yeah, let's backtrack a bit. When did the music performing bug first hit?
Well, I started choir when I was 11. And then originally, so I started in choir. Then from there, stemmed into theater and dance. And I went and I got my degree in musical theater. But then from there, I just wanted to explore different artistic avenues. And
it was Katy College, right?
Yes, I went to Katy College over in Dallas. And it's a 15-month program to get your associates. It's pretty intense, I'm not going to lie. But it was probably one of the best decisions I've ever made. I've networked with a lot of different artists through that and a lot of different theaters and all that good stuff.
Very cool. And so just like I start out with anyone, what was your influences and who kind of opened up that creative oyster of your talent and just said, I can do something like that?
Ooh. Well, growing up theater-wise, I loved Disney. I watched a lot of Disney. That really inspired me. But then, like, recording-wise, I really, like, I would love to be mentored by her one day. I really look up to Ariana Grande.
Okay, cool.
You know, and then, you know, of course, like, Mariah Carey and all the greats. Like from early 2000s.
Nice. And so who would you say kind of defined your tone? Because it's pretty, you know, just vibrant and engaging.
Ooh, defined my talent?
How would you describe your vocals?
Oh, gotcha. Well, I'm definitely soprano. I love vocal harmonies. I love to stack and stack and stack. So I think that definitely kind of is a defining factor in my music. Right now, Going Nowhere is more pop alternative, but I'm moving towards like a little pop R&B, especially after collaborating with a couple different rappers like Jay Nitz and Two Music. I really enjoy that genre. I think it's a lot of fun. And it's a new window for me, which is really cool. And that's the beauty of recording versus musical theater is like you get to explore all these different genres. So I don't know. Right now I'm just like, that's my lane, but it could change at any time. I just really love all styles, but definitely harmonies, stacking layers, all that. That's definitely my jam.
It's your jam, no pun. Also, would you just say, so I have a theory. I'm not saying it's a fact. It's the difference between a fact and a theory. But I would see people every once in a while say, it's so hard to get into the music industry. Really? I think it's pretty easier. Seems like a lot of music video and sound equipment and anyone can form a studio and edit digitally now. And with Spotify and everything, it seems like there's easier ways to be noticed in addition to just performing at cafes and music venues.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like with this era, it's all social media, technology, like the opportunities are endless. The, I guess I'll say quote unquote, difficult part of it is you have to take initiative. You have to work hard. You have to be consistent. And that's the biggest thing. A lot of people, they just want to put one song out and make it, but that's not what it is. You have to really, like, you have to promote yourself, especially as an independent artist. You don't have anybody doing that for you. And a lot of people, like, they just don't want to put the work in. And that's why it's...
Anyone can put their stuff on iTunes even, you know?
Right. There's so many different distributions now. Like, I personally use DistroKid. All I have to do, you upload the audio file and the cover and, you know, answer a few questions and bam, they can upload it to literally every streaming service. Like I'm on Spotify, Apple, YouTube.
Same thing with this damn podcast. If you want to refresh the avatar, you got to literally do it within 24 hours. And that's a simple toggle with whatever platform you're using to publish it through the multiple softwares and sites. But like you say, it's going to probably eat up probably a week, you know?
Right. And like, the thing is, like, the social media aspect has been the biggest learning curve for me. And like, while it has its frustrations, I think it's really a beautiful thing to be given that opportunity nowadays. Like, you don't have to get discovered, like you were saying, like through a cafe or a coffee shop or, you know, whatever. You have social media at your disposal. You can literally reach the whole entire world with your cell phone, something that fits in the palm of your hand.
1,000%. And, you know, it's all a matter of who you're going to collaborate with and how you're going to do it. I saw so many people doing cover songs, or even that was their jam, is that they would take a rap song and a pop song and combine the lyrics and then performing it in their style. I'm like, okay, cool. I think you're already off to a good start. You're getting the crowd familiar and they want to see how experimental you can be.
For sure.
I see that you also were a dancer. How did that come about?
Yeah, so I actually, that story is a little funny. So when I was 14, I did my first musical. I was cast in Annie. And in the dance rehearsals, I was a disaster. And to the point, the choreographer was like, people like you give me gray hairs. And that was kind of, most people would let that eat at them, but that really motivated me. I was like, no, I'm going to prove her wrong. So the following year, because that was in the spring. So the following year, I was 15. I was a sophomore in high school. I started taking dance classes at a local dance studio. It doesn't exist there anymore because this was when I lived in Huntsville, Texas. But it was called On Point Dance Company. I love that studio. The owner was like a second mom to me. I started taking like 10 plus hours of classes every single week. Every single week I was in that studio. I took multiple classes. I wanted to be well-rounded. So I took ballet, tap, jazz, hip hop. I even tried my hand at step. That was interesting. I did modern, contemporary, just anything I could get my hands on. I even took a couple musical theater classes there. So then the following year, it came time for musical auditions at school. And the choreographer, it was the dance coach at the time, she sees me. And I just know she probably was like, oh, great, it's this girl. I did my little audition and nailed it. And she was like, she turned to one of the dance captains. She was like, how did that happen? And she told the coach, like, you know, she's been taking dance classes. She really wanted to get it together because she loves musicals. That's what she wants to do. And she was just like, wow. And then the following year, I auditioned to be on that coach's drill team and made it. So it's just been kind of like
frustrating, though, because like you say, you're getting competitive and you don't know how much of it they're doing just to make you be better versus just letting their out loud voice, and it's stinging. And like you say, this is like, yeah. Either way, tensions are up because you got all this prejudgment. It's worse than doing your elevator pitch.
Yeah. And I mean, luckily, like that dance coach and I, we came very close, but I know he probably was like, oh my gosh, this girl.
That's a plus, because now you can say, fuck off. Yeah. And I earned it, buddy.
Right. And so from there, I started teaching like children's theater camps, and I was choreographing those. I was teaching dance classes. And then I went to college, and we had very intense dance classes there too, especially, I don't know if when you interviewed Bree McKay, if she mentioned a woman named Paula Moreland.
She did. It's been a minute. This was like 5 weeks ago. I'm sorry. I don't know. Probably. Let's just say yes, just for the case in point in your conversation.
She literally whoops ass. Like, she will whip anybody into shape. And those classes were probably the hardest of my entire life. Like,
so you got a workout in addition. Great investment.
Oh yeah. I was like,
no need for right, Zumba man. Or
and that helped a lot. Class. I started teaching at another ballet school, and you know, I taught all ages from 2 to adults, and you know, that lady, Paula Marlin, she really shaped that for me and really whipped me.
Nice. Do you have any ambitions in trying that with any potential music videos or?
Oh, for sure. Like I'm kind of scoping out like different venues to perform at right now and like trying to dive into those opportunities, because now that COVID is like kind of like in a spot where we're finally opening things up, like I really would love to perform. And with that like dance experience, I love choreography. I love to choreograph, and like I just think that would be a lot of fun to incorporate that in, and really, because I have my degree in musical theater, like incorporate a lot of showmanship.
For sure. And like you say, you brushed up on it enough to where it's not rusty. It's not just something you put on your resume at one point and then, you know, didn't become a priority anymore. It's cool that right. It's always going to be there, as opposed to, I was a member of the group Stomp or a backup dancer for J-Lo.
Yeah. And so I think that'll be a lot of fun, especially I have, haven't officially announced it on social media. So this is the first.
Exclusive. But
I'm going to be releasing a song called Put It Down On Me. And I really think that would be a really fun one to choreograph.
Excellent. How would you describe that?
Ooh, so I did a poll on my Instagram to see like what kind of music my following would like to hear next. And I was like, do you guys want sweet? Do you want spicy? Like, what are you feeling? Spicy. So I was like, all right, we're going to go all in. We'll make it really easy. But I mean, like dance wise, I think it'd be very, like, I don't know if you've ever heard of, there's a category called heels.
I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
So there's this category of dance called heels. It's kind of like hip hop, but in heels. It's kind of like, it's sexy, but I mean, I obviously, like, I'm not going to bear it all. I like to be classy,
sensual without being beyond risque.
Yes, sensual, but in a classy way, not putting it too far, because I'm not trying to, like, I don't want to put myself in that kind of box. Like, mad respect to artists that do, that's their lane, but that is not my lane.
Oh, no, that's cool. My recurring commentator, Moneybag Mia, shout out. He's also a fashion designer and everything. I just described that there was a lot of, she was listening.
Interviews last night.
Oh, sweet. Okay, cool. Someone's doing homework. Nice. Yeah, no, she was really talking to me a lot about is how it's like, it seems like there's a lot of record producers who will kind of do a lot of slut shaming kind of vibes. And it's like, well, you know, everyone once in a while is going to do a music video that kind of has some violent or sexual tension. So, I mean,
right.
If you're going to eat this up, what's the point?
Like, I want to use my platform to, like, raise awareness on certain issues. Like, Going Nowhere was very personal to me. But, like, you know, I not just as a woman, everybody, like, has different sides to them. But as a woman, like, you can be nurturing and you can be sexy and you can be sweet and you can be sassy and you can be all these things all at once. And I think it's crazy when people act like you can't be those things. Like, oh, well, for example, like, the biggest one I see, like, if someone's a mom, they're like, you can't be sexy, you're a mom. Well, why not? Like, that's, you know, there's different sides to being a woman or being a person in general. And I feel like artists should be allowed to express that.
1,000%. It really gets toxic when, again, people who have been hired to do something, you know, are just acting like someone is beneath them. It's like, yeah, well, this doesn't excuse you either. What are you doing here, buddy?
Exactly. Yes. I'm like, because at the end of the day, the people that are throwing stones, they're in that little glass house, and it comes back to them.
Yeah. Shifting through the BS is very annoying, but it's also unfortunately just going to happen anyway. And I mean, this is why you screen anyone anyway. So, I mean,
for sure.
Ideally, do you look at other music videos to get some motivation, saying I kind of want to do something kind of like that, kind of like as a fun kind of YouTube kind of response, you know?
I feel like everybody's influenced by the film they consume, but really I just like, I get ideas that pop into my head. They just kind of populate there. Like, I just, so for that song in particular, like, I picture like purpley vibes, maybe like some choreography, maybe like milk bath type of scene. Like, I just, like, these are the ideas I get, and then I just figure out ways to piece them together. So I guess in a way, not really. I don't go to anybody else to kind of see what they're doing and kind of go off of that. But I think subconsciously everybody's influenced by the film they consume. So it could be from somewhere, it could not be, but if that makes sense.
No, I get it. Okay.
Just get like ideas that come in my head and we go from there.
Sweet. Okay. Well, shameless plug, I'll be happy to help helm this music video.
I love it.
Alrighty. Overall, I think you pretty much have again nailed it. Do you think DFW is opening up a bit, or touring schedules are resuming somewhat?
Yes and no. Like, I think we're kind of in that weird in between right now. Because, well, okay, so I'm going to go back a little bit. The reason I started recording is, oh, I'm so sorry if you hear my cat meowing in the background.
All right, but, we're all cat people here.
Okay. I have four and a dog. They're all rescues. But anyway, so the last show I did, musical theater wise, I was in a chorus line back in 2019, and then I was going to be a part, or no, I was in a show in around like March 2020, right before the shutdown.
Oof.
Yeah, so there was a lot of talk about like, are we going to continue the show, are we just going to cancel it, you know, how are we going to proceed? So I believe we ended up going through with it, and then after that, because it's a show that I was in every year. It's called Sweatbox. It's a dance concert.
Nice.
And we haven't done any shows for that ever since. And, you know, COVID just really shut everything down. And with there being no more shows and no more musical theater at the moment, or no safe ways to do it, I should say, I was like, all right, how else can I express myself artistically? And, you know, that's kind of, I started exploring the realm of like recording music and writing my own stuff, because I wrote a little bit like when I was in high school, but never pursued it. And then it just kind of took off from there. But now I feel like we're in that weird in between, like things are starting to open up, but people are unsure because it doesn't feel safe. And I think
the ones who never cared are always going to show up. So what do you do? Right.
Ones that don't care are still going to show up, but
I'll gladly take 2 weeks off work and risk being fired.
Right. So I'm like, you know, the people that are going to show up, they'll show up. But I think a lot of people are still a little apprehensive, and, you know, they're like, is it safe? Should I go? If I go, do I need to wear a mask?
Is it outdoor? I can take a chance. Yeah.
Right. Is there a way for me to be socially distant?
Like, I had a cousin-in-law who did that. Basically, he was like, you know, they told him, do not go. And he was like, no. You know, even though despite vaccination and everything, he just essentially,
and you never know. And I mean, I still mask up when I go out, and we're in that weird in between. So I'm like, I'm looking at performance opportunities, but I also want to make sure I do my research to make sure like it's the safest as possible for everybody, or, you know, all that good stuff. Cause I would never want to put people at risk in that way. Like, I'd rather everybody safe. And, you know, this goes back to what we were saying earlier. Like, this is such a heavy social media era. Like, you know, you might not be able to perform live, but there's so many opportunities. Like, you can do TikTok, or you can post on Instagram Reels, or like, you know, wherever. So it's like, or even like Zoom has become huge since COVID.
Totally. And it seems like it's getting to a better place now. All together, What venues would you like to promote that you think are just really just always reliable?
Oh, I'm not really sure yet. I haven't delved in too deep yet to know for sure.
Okay. Well, which ones have you been at that you would?
That I want to perform at one day or?
Or that you have performed at.
Ooh, well, I mean, I haven't really performed my music outside of, like, I've done musical theater and I've done shows, but I've never really performed my original music ever. But I think, House of Blues would be really cool. That'd be pretty neat. I've seen a couple shows there, and it's a really vibey environment. One day I would love to do like Toyota Center. Or American Airlines. Like, that'd be sick. That's big, big shooting, like out into the stars, big goal.
For sure.
Baby steps though, until we get
baby steps.
I think to start probably like, I'd probably start at like maybe like coffee shops or, you know, stuff like that. I've also been to, I don't know what it would be like now with like COVID and all that good stuff, but I've been to Green Elephant before. It's more like being there. So if I did do that, it'd have to be more of my like pop R&B stuff, like Put It Down on Me, which is coming, or I have a couple other songs lined up that I just need to get recorded so I can put out. But I definitely have to go that route versus, I don't think going nowhere would take off very well there. It's not that style at all, but.
Well, at least you're socially aware of, you know, kind of tones and everything.
Yeah, because I'm like, it's very rap heavy and going nowhere is very like pop alternative, slow, kind of sad. So I don't think that would do well there. It would probably be a vibe killer. So
maybe you could try the Glass Cactus.
I actually haven't heard of them.
They're another indie venue. I'm not sure what it would cost, but.
The Glass Cactus?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'll definitely check them out.
Glass Cactus.
It's a cool name, too.
Oh, yeah. So, overall, I mean, how many tracks do you think you got coming up in this
week? Ooh. Well, so far on my page, I have two that are out and one feature with Janitz and Two Music.
You mean a Christmas cover?
Yeah. Well, that's actually, it's an original one. I wrote that.
Oh, okay. Nah.
Yeah.
All so, I Want for Christmas.
It's, What Could I Want for Christmas When I've Got You?
Oh, okay.
I wrote that at the beginning of December and I almost didn't release it because I was like, oh, it's kind of too late for Christmas music, but then I was like, you know what? Screw it. Let's just drop it. I dropped it a week before Christmas. It's like 30 streams shy of 1,000. So I'm like, that's not bad for only being in season for a week. But let's see. Coming up, I've got Put It Down on Me. I have a song called Pooh Bear. That's the sweet one. I wrote it for my brother because growing up, his nickname was Pooh Bear. So it's kind of like I'm here for you and I love you kind of thing, like, you know, one of the lines is like Christopher Robin, I'll be there. So kind of like I incorporate all the little characters. I have a song called You Wish. I have a song called You The Worst. So I have like four lined up plus a feature with my boyfriend. He's a producer and artist. So he produces for a lot of artists all over the world via Zoom. He does like custom beats and all sorts of cool stuff. So he produces all my songs.
Sweet. And
we're doing a song together called How You Like It. That one's a little spicy also.
Let's just quote my late grandmother, Pepe.
I love it. So I have like five lined up as of now and counting because I'm writing all the time. Oh, I have a feature with another one of my friends coming up. I don't know the name of the song, but I know the lyrics.
No, I'm just kidding.
I'm like, I don't know the name of it, but I know how it goes. But so I have like 5-6 lined up as of now and counting.
Nice. Very nice. Okay, well, sweet. And any other music artists you would like to do a shout out to or possibly collaboration with before we go?
Ooh. Well, I mean, always shout out to D-Dilts Productions. That's my boyfriend. And then PG Brown, Jay Nitz, Two Music, Bree McKay, of course. As for collaborations, I mean, Bree and I are talking about collaborating. I think that'll be pretty sick. Because she's very powerhouse, and yep. I'm very
powerhouse. Shout out to our last interviewee. Yeah.
So I'm like, I feel like we could do some really cool stuff together, especially we have that musical theater background, so we both can harmonize for days. I mean, big dream goal collaboration, Ariana Grande. I would love to collaborate with her. I think that's so, I love her. Like,
start knocking down doors.
If I can achieve that in life, I think I will just die on the floor happy. I'll pass out. She's just she's incredible, and I think it's really cool that she also started in theater and then moved over to recording, and she's just really found her lane. And I love listening to all her harmonies, because as I mentioned earlier, I'm a huge sucker for harmonies. I love to stack, I love to layer, and I just love listening to her stuff. It's like, I feel like I find a new layer every time I listen to her songs, which is almost constantly, but like, that's the dream collab. I think it'd be cool, like, maybe like Camila Cabello, Doja Cat would be cool. That'd be a little different. Honestly, I just like, I just love them all, but Ariana Grande is the dream for sure. I had the opportunity, like, I don't know if you know, she just did The Voice, and I think it's really cool that some of those artists got her as a mentor, because I'm like, I would kill for that opportunity, because she's, not only is she talented, but she's a smart businesswoman. Like, she's got her stuff down.
Oh, yeah. And it didn't happen overnight.
Oh, yeah. No, it definitely didn't. Like, she was for years and years in it, and then she really took off with Sweetener. Which, amazing. I was really blown away when she released that.
Totally. Alrighty. Well, thank you ever so much for being on here.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me. I appreciate you.
Anytime. I'm just trying to just, again, connect with various artists who are on here and just let the world know that they exist. So.
Oh, actually, I have a couple other artists I would like to shout out. I almost forgot. So my friend Belarus, and then I have a friend named Imperial J. They're also independent artists. So I had to throw them out there. They're the homies.
There's the homies, man. The homies.
We'll return after these messages.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
We let things pile up in the DVR. We add them to our queues. We wait for the DVDs and Blu-rays. We time shift. The Time Shifters Podcast. Sci-fi, horror, fantasy, superheroes, comedy, action, film, television, maybe some not-so-current events. Find us on iTunes or at timeshifterspodcast.com.
Cool thing about Blind Knowledge is we are in multiple countries. We are worldwide, all across the globe. We are in the U.S. We are in the U.K. We are in Canada, Germany, India, Japan. We're in Australia, y'all. blindknowledge.com. Now back to the feature presentation.
Dragon Ball Z, One Piece, Naruto, all things that we love, all manga that were originally published in the legendary magazine Weekly Shonen Jump.
But not every series can run for 300 chapters and have a hit anime. This is David.
This is Jordan.
We're the hosts of Shonen Flop. Each episode we look at manga that ran in Jump that didn't quite make it.
We discuss what it did wrong, what it did right, how the series could have turned itself around, and ultimately, was it a flop or not?
We're on all your favorite podcast apps, and you can find us at shonenflop.com.
Keep on flopping, floppers.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a Jacked Up.